We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We've got a stacked show for you today. Welcome into the CHGO Bears podcast, brought to you today by ButcherBox. Join by using our link, butcherbox.com/CHGO. Use that code CHGO to receive your exclusive offer today. I'm super excited about my ButcherBox. But I'm also super excited about Herb Howard's going to be joining us. I think you just saw him walk out of the set. My man is here and ready to go.
I think you can see his leg actually right now.
You could see a leg, which is fantastic. But We are through the magic of the internet. We're gonna be hitting it up with our guy Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated, and the Matt Verderam Show. Nobody knows football like Verderam, and you're gonna love this conversation. But first, I gotta tell you, if you have not been to CHGO Locker, and you have not looked at the franchise shirt, tough as nails, air it out. I mean, let's go. We're about to walk into the greatest season in Bears history. Damn it. I'm going to raise the bar as high as I can possibly raise it. You're going to need these shirts. You don't need just one. You got to go three lot, mm-hmm. or at least two. Have a rotational. I mean, how sweet are these? Tough as nails is, I mean, that's my first pick, but I love Air It Out, and I love the franchise. Probably franchise two, Air It Out three. I don't know. I'm buying all three. I'm going to be like Greg Bragg.
They're amazing.
What's your number one?
I think I got to go with Air It Out. I mean, you just see the image of, you know.
I mean, it's adorable. So, at any rate, CHGO Locker, get yourself a shirt. Herb coming up. But right now, from the Matt Verderam Show in Sports Illustrated, my guy, no one knows more about the NFL. This man is the NFL. Verderam, I want to talk to you about free agents that are out there that can augment this Bears roster, but after looking at their draft and after looking at where everybody in the NFL has done to this point, where do you think the Bears sit in the NFC right now, and maybe specifically the NFC North?
Well, first of all, you can make an argument that the NFC North is the best division in the NFL. I mean, you really could. Like, the Packers are very good. The Lions are conference contenders, if not Super Bowl contenders. Minnesota, I think a lot of it just rides on the quarterback. Like, the rest of the roster is pretty good. You know, we saw them improve defensively last year. They're loaded with weaponry. And now the Bears, Williams is what everybody thinks he's going to be. And Adunze is, let's say a Pro Bowl caliber receiver here at some point soon. They're good. Like, they're a good team. I mean, are they going to win the Super Bowl right away? No, probably not. But, like, could they challenge for a playoff spot? Could they be a playoff team? Yeah, they probably could be, especially in the NFC where – I think there are more available spots in the AFC. So right now in the NFC North, I'd probably put them third. But I think any of the four teams can make the playoffs. So look, the NFC South is not good. I think you're probably getting one team out of the NFC South. The East, 1-2, probably two. And then in the West, you get the Niners. And then the Rams probably, so like you probably getting at least two out of the North. You might even get three.
Matt, as we're kind of talking about the whole landscape of the NFL here, were there any draft classes that you saw from a particular team, maybe outside the Chiefs, that you really enjoyed, thought, hey, that team really improved after the selections that they made this past weekend?
Yeah. I mean, I thought the Steelers had the best draft of any team in the NFL. They added three offensive linemen who I think could all start either right away or very soon. Roman Wilson and Peyton Wilson in the third round were both great values. I know Peyton Wilson, there's a big concern about the knee, but look, in the third round, fire away. Go for it. Take your shot. I thought Philadelphia with Howie Roseman, what else is new? They got two corners that are going to start right away for them. Both guys were excellent values. I thought the Colts had a very good draft. But I will say, I think if anything, in terms of just the impact that the draft class is going to have this year, I think the Bears probably had the biggest impact class going. I mean, they only drafted four guys, one of which is a punter, but there were five guys. But it's still, when you look at it, like, who's going to have a bigger impact class-wise than Williams and Adunze? Like, if those two guys are what they're supposed to be, there's no team that has a bigger impact coming in than the Bears, even without having, you know, a 10, 12 picks like some of these teams do. I thought the Cardinals also had a good class, but I think the Bears, Williams and Adunze, if those guys are what they're supposed to be, that's all that matters.
So they trade back in to get Austin Booker, and but you're still in need of some edge help here. Does 37-year-old Calais Campbell do anything for you, or perhaps, another guy out there, Emmanuel Agba, do either of those guys, if you're looking for somebody to just, whatever, rotational piece, do either of those guys, do you think they can do anything at this point in their career?
I think Campbell is worth kicking tires on, if only because that guy just knows how to play the game, and he's been in the league a long time, obviously 37 years old, but like, I think he would help the young roster along. Like, I don't mind bringing a guy like that in. Do I think he's going to go out and have 10 sacks? No. I think I'd rather have him than Agba. Agba's not a bad player. I just think Campbell, like, he offers a little bit more in terms of experience, mentorship. But I don't think, look, there's nobody out there that you're like, we're going to pair this guy with Montez Sweat. Now, all of a sudden, it's going to be, an incredible tandem here. I don't think that's the case. But I think overall, the Bears defense is in a much better spot at this time this year than a year ago.
Matt, obviously covering the NFL from a national perspective, I think the Bears get compared to what C.J. Stroud and the Texans did last season. Do you see it that way, where Caleb Williams, Odunze, this wide receiving core, that defense you mentioned, can actually make that type of jump in 2024?
Yeah, if you see C.J. Stroud, yeah, sure. I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, look, when you look at Houston, nobody thought Houston was going to be good last year. Nobody. I think I had them ranked like 15th in my AFC power rankings going into the year, and they they shocked everybody. I thought I remember writing, like, yeah, they're going to be good in a couple of years. I like Ryan's, I like Stroud, but they're not ready. Who the hell thought Nico Collins was going to explode the way he did? Like, you don't. That's the thing. You know, I know for Bears fans, it's been forever since they've had a quarterback that, like, really raises everybody else's level. If that kid's that good, you know, you're going to see Cole Kmet be a lot better than he's been. Like, and he's a good player, but you're going to see him be a really good player. You know, it's kind of like adding that real true power hitter in the middle of your lineup. Everybody's better because everybody's seeing better pitches. Like, all of a sudden, you know, that guy in front of him, all he's getting is fastballs. You can't walk him. So I think in football, it's the same thing. You had that quarterback. Look, now, you know what? Instead of maybe catching a ball that's low and away and the guy's got to stop, you're hitting him in stride. And that, instead of a 6-yard pass, it's a 16-yard pass. I think the Bears, if Williams comes in and lives up to the hype, and look, it's a lot of hype. Like, it's not easy to do that. But I think they've got Shane Waldron in there who's going to do a terrific job. I feel confident that if Williams is good, the Bears are going to be a very, very improved team.
So, you, of course, as we're talking about, cover the NFL, but you are in the middle of the Kansas City Chiefs. So, just for a hint for Bears fans, when you knew, Matt Verderam, watching the Chiefs, that Patrick Mahomes was different than the rest of the guys playing quarterback in the league, do you remember any moment, like, I don't know, when he finally got on the field, that, okay, this guy is something we've never seen here in KC?
Well, I would say two things. So his rookie year, he sat except for a game, the last game of the year that meant nothing, which he was very good in. But you're like, okay, it doesn't mean anything. Week two, they played Pittsburgh in 2018, and they went to, and they could never beat Pittsburgh, ever. Like, that zone defense just ate them up, zone blitz. And Mahomes went into Heinz Field and threw 6 touchdowns and just destroyed them. I mean, it was looking guys off and just gunning the ball down the seam. But ironically, it was the first loss of his career. They lost on a Sunday night game in New England. They threw 2 really bad picks in the first half, and they were down something like 21 or 24-9 at halftime. You're like, all right, like this is maybe Belichick kind of putting out a blueprint. He came out in the second half and scored 31 points and threw for like 300-some-odd yards and a half in Foxborough. And it was like, okay, this guy, like, it took this guy 2 quarters to figure out Belichick. And he's just gunning. And they lost the game because the defense couldn't stop anything. They lost like 43-40. But I remember like walking away from that game being like, if Belichick can't stop him and he's 6 starts into his career, he's probably pretty good. And that was for me the moment where you're like, all right, this guy's different than anybody I've ever seen at Chiefs before.
I love that because it's like, all right, let's get some adversity going. Let's figure out what he can do and let's see how he responds to it. And that's how he responded. So that's a good blueprint right there, Nicholas Moriano. I like that a lot.
It is a good blueprint. And actually, speaking of that, Matt, there's so many different ways, I think, philosophies on how you can develop a rookie quarterback. You can let him take the reins and the Bears can go out of their traditional type of ways where they're not going to just run the ball and rely on defense. They have Caleb Williams. They have a bunch of receivers. I don't. From what you remember on how Patrick Mahomes is kind of brought up, obviously not his rookie season, but that second season, is it just fair to allow Caleb to, in that offense, to just throw the ball, kind of get away from what the Bears traditionally are running, playing defense? Or like, how do you kind of see that?
I think you have to play a little bit to the personnel, but they've got receivers. I mean, they've got Adunze and Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Kmet. Like, look, man, my philosophy on that, take a 5-step drop and gun it. Like, don't – the hell with running the ball on 2nd and 6, man. Take a drop and gun it. You took this kid number one overall for a reason. That was one of the most enjoyable parts of that first year at Mahomes. The Chiefs just flat out were like, here it comes. And if you can stop it, you win. I mean, he threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns that year. It was unbelievable. That was that year that famously he threw that ball left-handed on Monday Night Football where he was running away from – like, they just – they didn't try to change him. And I think that if I had to give one piece of advice to the Bears coaching staff, if Williams is a little unorthodox in certain ways, that's what makes him great. Like, don't – the Chiefs didn't try to coach that out of Mahomes. I remember talking to people in that building, like, his rookie year – the first year he played. And that was really the first year I became, like, more of a reporter than just, like, writing on the team and having some people. And it was like, we're not going to change this kid. Look at this kid. Like, why would you change anything? I don't care if his footwork's a little weird or, like, he plays off script. That's what makes him – I mean, I remember that year. You know, that was the first time I can remember. The guy was throwing no-look passes. And at first, you're like, what is he doing? And you're almost like you're so used to, you're like, oh, my God, don't do that. Like, don't throw it across the middle of the field. But then after, like, the 30th time he did it, you're like, all right, you know what? He probably just let him do it. And if Williams has stuff like that in him, let him do it. You've got Allen, Adunze, and Moore, man. Drop back, hit your back foot, and let it rock. Like, to me, if he throws 15 picks, so what? Let him do it. He'll live. Everybody will live. Like, the worst thing they can do is coach aggressiveness out of him. Don't turn him into a caretaker. Let him go for it. And if he makes a few mistakes, that's fine. He'll learn.
I completely agree. But you said it better than I've been saying it. But it's like, hey, man, let him play the game. You're not trying. I mean, you want to win games. I get it. But the most important thing is to let this guy have a blank canvas and let him develop and see where it can get to. And maybe you'll win a ton of games. Or maybe you'll win him in year two and year three, and that's totally fine. Let me go back to free agents real quick here. Let's name you some safeties. Justin Simmons, who takes the ball away. Quadre Diggs. You got corners out there, too. Bears don't necessarily need a corner as bad. But, I mean, Jamal Adams is nearly dead. The Bears, in my mind, could use a little depth there. Do you like any of those names?
I like Simmons. Simmons can play. Simmons can play. I saw him a ton in Denver. Like, he's still pretty damn good. Like, it's not like he's some guy who's fell off a cliff here. Like, Justin Simmons can play. Denver had to cut him because they're paying $85 million of dead money to Russell Wilson for that hilarious trade and signing. But, like, Simmons can play. And Diggs can still play, too, by the way. But I think Simmons is the better player. He's a little older. And I think sometimes people get scared off by that. They're like, well, you know, the other side of 30. You're not signing for 5 years. You're signing for 1 year. Who cares? Like, bring the guy in on a play for a year. You know, I mean, I think if you're the Bears, what is the downside of that? You got the space. You can do it. Like, it's not like it's a bad thing. And if he, you know, comes in, you can't do it anymore, fine. And set him. I mean, yeah, I think Simmons is – in fact, of any guy out on the free agent market, I think Simmons is probably the most high-impact guy potentially for a team like the Bears looking for defensive help.
Right. I mean, and the Bears obviously have to sell to him that he's going to play, and there's not a direct starting spot, so he might have better options. But that's an interesting name.
Verderam, I just want to go back to the Chiefs draft class, Xavier Worthy, Sumata, and you also the tight end. Jared Wiley. What'd you make of that class? And
why are the Bills trading with the Chiefs?
Yeah, again. We remember what happened last time. They made a big trade with them.
I go on the radio in Buffalo in a few hours, and I killed the Bills for doing that. So I'm sure that'll be a talking point. That's fine. I'll kill them again on their own radio. Look, I thought other than the Penix deal, which was to me just stupefying, the Bills trading with the Chiefs was insane. That was the most shocking moment of the entire draft. Like, you've got sent home by that team 3 times out of 4 years. And in all 3 times, it's because you couldn't stop them offensively. All 3 times. I don't know your opinion is of Xavier Worthy. My opinion of Xavier Worthy going into this draft was, I want to see where he goes. Because I think if you're a coach who's just going to make him an X receiver and have him run wind sprints, I don't love it. If you're a coach like a Mike McDaniel or a Shanahan or Andy, who's just going to put him in motion all the time and create matchups, I like him a hell of a lot more. Like, I think in Kansas City, he's a great fit. If he had gone to a place like Miami or shit, I wonder if the Chiefs hadn't taken him, would the Niners have taken him? You know, because to me, then, like, if you lose Debo, he kind of replaces some of the, now Debo's much bigger, of course, but that same kind of like Swiss Army knife. I couldn't believe the Bills. Just were like, here, take Xavier Worthy. You know what the conversation is going to be like in Buffalo if Kansas City knocks him out of the playoffs again and Worthy's just running up and down the field in that game? I mean, that's brutal. But I gave their draft class a B+. Suamataia is, I think, going to fight for the starting job at left tackle. Everybody else is depth. I think the safety they took, Jaden Hicks, that kid is really, really interesting. Like, I talked to a lot of people who had like a mid-second round grade on him. So I think, you know, he's one of those guys, you know, he's going to have a tough time cracking the lineup because they're just so deep there. But I think they'll find a way to utilize him. But yeah, I thought it was like a B+ class. I thought they did a nice job.
Hey, last one. I know you got roofers coming over there. You're about to get on the roof and do dangerous things. The Bears drafted a punter in the 4th round, Verderam. This roster is not complete, but this guy's supposed to be punt god. Did you think they were out of their mind? Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're a Bears fan, you sit there like, sweet, we got the Australian 26-year-old kicker who's tons of fun, or you look at him like, hey, man, we need an edge. We could use depth all around the roster. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that pick. But I don't care necessarily because they took Williams and Adunze, which was, by the way, I'd like to point out, I mean, the Williams, I'm not taking credit for mocking Caleb Williams for the Bears, but Adunze, like, there were some Bears fans like, why not an edge rusher? I'm like, because Rome Adunze should have like 1,500 yards at some point in his career. That's why. By the way, I think Adunze, I would have taken him over Neighbors for the record. So, look, I think it's a great class. Like, the punter thing, yeah. I'm not a big fan of ever taking a punter or kicker in the draft. Ever. Like, I think you can get like a really good punter as an undrafted free agent. Like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But if the guy ends up being punt god, then cool. Then great. But I'm not going to kill the Bears for taking him, but I wouldn't have done it personally.
That was exactly where I was at on that one too. Like, I'm not like, everyone's like jumping up. Oh, they picked a weapon. And man, he's a punter. Like, the Bears punter. Went 7-10 last year. They lost three, and they could have won 10 games. None of it had to do with the fact that Trenton Gill was one of the worst punters in the league. And he was one of the worst punters in the league. Didn't matter. All right. Hey, everybody should be subscribing to Verderam's Patreon show, the Matt Verderam Show, reading him at Sports Illustrated. And as you can see from this interview, nobody knows the NFL like him. So Verderam, always appreciate it, brother.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Our guy, Matt Verderam, and a reminder, get that shirt. I just bought all three because I just, you know, I got to have them. And it is grilling season, which gets Herb Howard joining the show. Super excited. Get your pork. People are active. They need more protein than the average American. Herb's active. Nick's active. I'm an incredible athlete. In fact, I mean, come on. the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, Dietitians of Canada, and the American College of Sports Medicine, they recommend 1.2 to 2.0 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight per day. Mm. So if you're 150 pounds like Nick, that's about 81 to 136 grams of protein per day. One 3-ounce serving of PAR provides 23 grams of high-quality protein that can keep active individuals, allowing them to build and preserve muscle. Elevate your protein game with Lean Pork, a powerhouse of natural goodness. Savor the flavor, savor the gains, and celebrate any occasion by enjoying the best pork products by Illinois pig farmers, from your sausage and bacon for breakfast to pulled pork or juicy chops hot off the grill. It's an entire season dedicated to pork and the people behind the product, paid for by the Illinois Pork Producers, generations of commitment.
You know it goes well with pork, you guys? Any guesses? Any guesses?
I got Miller Lite.
Price picks?
Miller Lite. Boom. There we go. Herb is Boom. On it. You know, sometimes things need to change, and one thing that doesn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. I'm sure a bunch of Bears fans were celebrating with Miller Lite when the Bears drafted Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. And look, it's a smooth, great-tasting beer after this past weekend of working. You know, I know I'll be having a few Miller Lights this upcoming weekend. And Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. Less filling, and again, only 96 calories. The original light beer since 1975. And no matter how your team changes, you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller Lite. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/CHGOFootball, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beers. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
All right, Herb Howard is here, and as you can see, everybody in the chat is fired up for you to be here, Herb. Look at the love.
Shout out to Coach Nagy, man. Coach Nagy is always good to me at Hallis Hall. I'm glad we've continued our relationship. Now he's back in KC.
Yeah, I mean, it's big, and Nagy is a hero. By the way, Pigeon in the chat. Who is this? Pidge. let me just talk to you about Pidge, because I had Pidge 1 on my balcony, and don't worry, we're getting into Herb in a second.
Naked guy's back on his balcony, by the way.
Kevin's the man.
Shout out to him.
Naked man, Kev, store, I love him. So I had Pidge 1, who gave birth to a baby Pidge, and that baby Pidge didn't make it.
Oh,
and okay. So we RIP to the baby Pidge. And now I got Pidge 2 on my balcony, who's got an egg in there and is getting ready to go. So, Pidge, I don't know if you're on. It's like my balcony Pidge is watching the show, because I walk out on the balcony. I'm like, what's up, Pidge? How you doing? And now out of nowhere, Pidge is in the chat. It's a weird moment for me. Hey, but nobody cares about any of that. On to you, Herb, and you, Nick, and yours truly. All right. You said that if they traded Justin and if they drafted Caleb, you would, you know, you had nothing against Caleb. You're going to root for him.
Yeah.
So now it's here, and Roma Dunze is here, and Keenan Allen's here, and Gerald Everett's here, Shane Waldron's here. So how high up for this offense, Herb?
Really high. I think they can play any style of football that they want to play. It's nice to be able to win a shootout. I don't think the Bears have ever really been in a position where you look at their roster and, like, they could win a shootout. I mean, some of those, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, seasons you thought maybe, but now you feel like they really can. They're very versatile in terms of their ability to line up in different formations, different personnel groupings, and so I like what they have, and now the only thing left is for Caleb to be who we all think he is, and I've been very impressed with him. Just in the way he's handled himself throughout this process, the past few weeks specifically, thought he put to bed a lot of some of the negative talk about him in terms of who he was and what he was about. I think he is about football. He is about reaching his goals. And so, yeah, I'm 100% on record that I wanted them to keep Justin Fields and build around him. I still thought that was the way to go. I don't think differently now, but I love this team that they have right now. I think they have the potential to be really, really good. And my stance about Justin never had anything to do with Caleb Williams. People were like, you didn't like Caleb Williams. I'm like, find me a single tweet, a single column, a single interview where I said one bad word about Caleb Williams. But, you know, people can't comprehend, and they can hear but not listen. So they you know, Twitter's a space where you can't be pro this without being anti that.
Very true. It's a very it's true. Toxic place at times. Herb, when you look at this Bears, yeah, honestly,
we love it.
We love it. When you look at this Bears roster, we talk about the offense. It has a lot of weapons, a lot of receiving options for Caleb Williams in his rookie season. But when you still look at it in its totality, what do you still think needs to be addressed, or what's kind of the biggest need that you look at for this 2024 roster as it stands today?
Just the interior of the trenches, man. I really think that, you know, the Bears need a legitimate center, and maybe Bates is ready to step. Like maybe they have it, right? I don't know, though, right? And I think that you got a rookie quarterback. Somebody's got to be able to get up to that line of scrimmage, make all of these checks, make all of these protections. And, you know, coming into the draft, there was a lot of talk about drafting a center. There were a couple intriguing mm-hmm. prospects there. But I remember asking Nagy some point earlier in the process. Nagy, now you're my man, coach. I remember asking Flus at some point earlier in the process his preference of having two rookies at center and quarterback mm-hmm. versus having, if you're going to have a rookie quarterback, should probably have a veteran center. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out in training camp, but that's still a question mark for me. And then the other question mark is a little bit smaller because we did see Javon Dexter take steps forward in the end of the season.
True, yeah.
But I want to know if he can continue to ascend, continue to take that next step to be not only, you know, a good prospect, a good potential, but to really be a difference maker in the middle of that defensive line. If he can do that, then I think the Bears will be in a really good position to have an elite defense this year. I think the back seven is as good as anybody's in the league.
So let's have that conversation. I'll put it out to both of you. Which side of the ball going into the year is better? Because
where?
Well, so
on paper or on the grass?
On the grass, where it matters. But you got Montez. You got the back seven that you just named. Maybe you've got, hopefully, an emerging Jervon Dexter, even an emerging Zach Pickens for them. You brought back Andrew Billings.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll bring back Ngakoue. We'll see on that.
I think that's a real possibility.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that, but, you know, we all know what they've done for the offense. And, you know, I was listening to Jalen Johnson yesterday on with a friend of the program, Danny Parkins, Park at the Spiegel. And he's like,
great interview.
You know, like that was, it was an outstanding interview as always. And, you know, he's all fired up to compete in training camp. Iron sharpens iron. This is exciting.
Sure.
But what do you think, Nick? Who's better, offense or defense, going into training camp here, OTAs, whatever?
Yeah, it's a difficult conversation. But I'm going to go with the defense, actually, because you have, I think, more established players going into the season than you do on offense right now. When you look at that back seven that we were talking about with Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson going into year two, and then you have Jaquan Prisker, Kevin Byard, you have awesome linebackers and Montez Sweat, I think that group initially is going to be better than the offense. At the end of the year, though, I wouldn't be surprised if the offense is just playing at a level that we just are not familiar with seeing in Chicago. But to answer your question, Mark, I think the defense is the better unit, especially going into the season.
Couldn't agree more. I think going into the season, the defense is going to have just a higher level of chemistry, if nothing else, just because True. I'm used to playing with the guy next to me. I can communicate easily outside in or inside out because those guys are used to playing with each other. It's going to take some time for Keenan Allen and DJ Moore to understand, okay, certainly we know what the route combination is, but to understand exactly when and where to break off of each other, how to play off of each other, those types of things. Where does Cole Kmet find his creases, his seams within all these other moving pieces around him? Romo Dunze's got to figure out what they even want him to do, right? So it's just going to take some time. I think they got all the pieces for sure, and I agree with you again that by the end of the season, that could be the stronger unit. But initially, it's going to be incumbent upon that defense for the first quarter of the season to say, you ain't getting 20 until our kid is ready to put up 40.
So who's the best player on this football team?
Montez Sweat. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Jalen Johnson.
I know where you're going with this, Mark.
Okay. The best player on this football team is the quarterback. He better be. And
I don't even agree with that.
Okay, I know you don't. But
not that he is. I don't even agree that he better be.
He better be. If he's not, then what are we doing? You need this is
he
the,
will be.
This
he
is the number one. We're trying to win a Super Bowl here. You want your quarterback to be your best player. That's how these things work, right?
He's the best player on the team right now.
I think he will be,
the
yes.
Most talented?
I think, I mean, right now is kind of a ridiculous statement, but, like, look, his first play at Oklahoma,
yes.
Fourth and one, he goes 60-plus for a touchdown.
Yeah, nah,
for
sure.
He transfers to USC. He wins the Heisman Trophy. I mean,
I don't think it's a long runway. I'm not saying that. I don't think it's a long runway. I'm not saying that. I'm saying for the first time in a long time, the Bears have elite talent at multiple positions. Right, we got DJ Moore last year. Like, finally, we got a real number one receiver. We're not trying to project somebody to be number one. We got one, and then you bring in a Hall of Famer, certified Hall of Famer, to come play in the same position group with him, and then you spend a top 10 pick on another dude who has that kind of potential. So, I'm saying, like, they just have other guys, and nothing, like, not a knock on Caleb Williams. He's a rookie. You got dudes who are all pros and Pro Bowlers the team. You got a Hall of Famers on the team.
I think Caleb's going to shred this freaking defense in training camp.
I can't wait.
It's going to be so much fun.
I can't wait for like 707 and team period and all that. Like, it's going to be super lit.
Like,
I
mean, Kyler on Keenan, Jalen on DJ. Man. Like, however you put it, like, it's going to be electric. And look, you can even see in our comments, fight. Like, you see, like, yeah, potentially, like, it's some people are agreeing that with Carm, like, it is Caleb, but there are guys that are established in this league and have done it year after year after year. But the point being is that the Bears are talented. They have guys on this roster at multiple positions that are, you know, starting for multiple other teams. So it is a fascinating conversation. But if Caleb Williams isn't the best player on the Bears roster to start, that's not the worst problem, because they have so many guys.
Yeah, that's true. When you're the average number one overall pick, that's true. Mm-hmm. Because the team was, you know, 3-14 last year. You're not coming into that situation. We didn't get the number one pick because we were the worst team. We got the number one pick because we made the greatest trade ever last year. So it's a different. He's not coming into some empty cupboard where there's nobody there but him. He's coming into a ready-made thing. He's the final piece, as opposed to generally as the number one pick, you're the first piece.
So I missed your tweets over the weekend. My apologies. But did you react to the punter?
No.
All right. So
I'm cool with it.
You're cool with it.
Yeah. Like, listen, I think it speaks to, and I know you're not. I've been paying attention.
I mean, I'm not uncool with it. I'm just not,
I know you don't love it. Like,
I'm
like,
just not like, oh, because, sweet. We got
a because
punter.
a lot of people are like super loving it, right. Like super, super excited. Of course Hogue is, but that's special
thing. Iowa guy, so I love it.
Right. So he got that's what he's gonna do. But
King of the Nerds.
Yeah, Iowa. You know what I mean? So I think that it's indicative of how close the Bears think they are. When you spend a fourth round pick on a punter, and he seems to be a special one, and it could matter, man. You talking about kicking at Soldier Field? He could be a weapon. I know that's the word that everybody's throwing around, but I think he absolutely could be a weapon. You give this defense long fields, it's going to ultimately lead to this offense having short fields. The kid could be useful.
Well, I look at it this way really quick. If you're Ryan Poles, you're not overlooking any spot on the roster, even if it is just a punter. That was one of the worst positions on the Bears team last year, sure. Statistically, when you look at it. Ryan Poles is looking at, how can I address this with the best punter in the nation last year? And yes, do so with a fourth round pick. So for me, I just think he's a GM that is literally looking at everything on this roster. It doesn't matter if you're a punter, the quarterback, the third wide receiver. Can I upgrade there? And if I can, I'm going to do it. And yes, a fourth round pick may be costly for, you know,
yeah, but
he
got a starter
player.
For a fourth round pick.
Exactly.
You weren't going to get a starting corner receiver in there. Like, that wasn't going to happen.
I mean, is Patrick Scales a starter?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Technically, he's a starter. Yeah.
So I joke with Scales that the Bears have been the Green Bay Packers of long snapping, right? Yeah. Similar to Favre to Rodgers, they went manually to Scales. I'm like, y'all been great for a long time. But I do want to caution this piece, though. Trent Gill was very good at holding. Like, yeah, he sure took some high snaps, some wayward snaps, and got it down for Cairo. Cairo, Patrick, and Trent were, like, tied together at the hip.
That's a great point.
You ever seen one of them without seeing at least one of the other one?
Nope.
Never.
They're attached at the hip.
They're always together, and I think that matters a little bit. Now, I know Torrey Taylor's got the big leg, and he can punt it. He can walk the ball down to the one-yard line right at the pylon, but that operation with Cairo is important, and no, and they better get that together just as fast as they get, you know, his chip shot together.
That was a good underline right there, and you're absolutely right. Like, those three were tied together. Every time you saw them at practice or training camp or wherever, they were just like a three-pod hanging out. It was lovely and adorable and a little bit creepy, too. All right. shout out to our friends at Family Farms. Their culinary journey is woven like the three lot of the former Bears kicking crew with passion and dedication and a commitment to crafting the finest bacon-wrapped chicken, a timeless delicacy that has tantalized the taste buds since 1974 at Family Farms. They're more than just a traditional name. They've evolved into purveyors of gourmet delights with their signature bacon-wrapped chicken leading the way. Join them in a flavorful adventure where every bite tells the story of tradition, quality, and the enduring spirit of Family Farms. The tradition continues. Now you can find Family Farms bacon-wrapped chicken even easier. Look for them in the meat department at your local Woodman's, Mariano's, or they are available in Amazon Marketplace as well. Experience the flavor that's become a family favorite for generations. Visit your nearest Woodman's or Mariano's, or visit our new Amazon Marketplace store today.
Check out Family Farms, and then you got to go check out Prize Picks, everyone. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Everyone likes that, instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Prize Picks has something literally for every sport, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. And Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in place even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays alive. It's really convenient. And honestly, I just kind of like scrolling on the app and checking out all the different lines, making different entries, and you have to check it out yourself. And you can do so by going to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use the code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use the code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I wonder if people took the less on LeBron last night, which would have been wrong, but I just want to say adios to the Lakers. And
Colin Fishing.
Anthony Davis.
Ant-Man is a problem. He is a problem. And Shorty, like, 22 years old. He hasn't even scratched the surface of his potential.
Okay. Okay. We're not talking about – I'm talking about Anthony Davis of the L.A. Lakers.
Oh, I thought you said Anthony Edwards. See, as soon as I said – there's only one Anthony alive right now.
Yeah, no, you're right.
He's that kid in Minnesota.
Anthony Edwards is insane. Anthony Davis, if you better not put your pinky on him because that shoulder's going to pop out, and I don't know what that was. Okay, let me stay on track here and not hate on people who get injured, but that was like –
But he gets injured all the time.
I mean, there's never been a softer player in the history of the
like,
league.
Bro, stop.
I got to get that off my chest. I gotta
stop putting this soft stuff on our name, bro. Don't be going around here climbing you from the crib and then fall down and stay down every single time, bro. We get up around here.
Yeah, so consistent. You're right. With them, man.
Get that Chicago. The Chicago tat's got to be removed.
You must. Must.
You remove the Chicago tat.
Must. Like Clay Morrow. Like burn it off. Like, yeah, like
that.
Sons of Anarchy. His tattoo.
It's embarrassing. All right. We had this discussion, and you have kind of a sort of a weird bond, I would call it, with the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus. Do you think the Flus is ready for this? And we were talking while Verderam was talking that, you know, let Caleb go out and play. Let him second and six. We're not running the football. And you know, Herb, former high school coach, all that stuff, this is against your philosophy. But I think it's the best thing for the Bears to not try to squeeze wins, but to let the dude develop. Like, do you have Flus confidence? Let's call it that.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying let's play conservative. I'm just saying let's not be like, hey, Caleb, go throw that thing 45 times just because we think you can. It's not necessary. You know what I mean? Like, go play your style of football. You can still run the ball. You can still play defense. It's great that you now have a quarterback that you can open it up with, that you now have a receiving core that you can open it up with. That's phenomenal, right? Use that. But I'm not. Let's not go greatest show on turf out here. Let's not try to do that. When you can, do it. But you don't have to.
You got Flus confidence, Nick?
Yeah, I think. Well, I think. I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of an identity crisis going on within this first year, because Caleb Williams is obviously very talented.
For sure.
He's shown that at USC you can throw the football consistently and just do so to win games. They didn't win enough of them at USC, but we know how Matt Eberflus operates. Like, he's a defensive-minded guy. He wants to run the football. He wants to, you know, put things on his defense. So I wonder, like, how this back and forth plays out in this rookie season with Caleb Williams, because you do have Shane Waldron, who obviously has done some nice things with some of the weapons that were in Seattle, and you do have, you know, when you're in 11 personnel, you have three wide receivers that are very capable. But there is the Eberflus part of this where you still have to question and project, like, how much is he going to allow Caleb to really do his thing, to be him? Because that's the most important thing that Verderam was talking about. It's like, you have to allow Caleb to be Caleb, because that's what makes him special. That's why he was a number one overall pick. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is a little bit of, like I said earlier, a little bit of an identity crisis in the beginning. But at some point, you just got to allow Caleb to just do his thing.
See, now is not the time to be middle of the road. Now is the time to elevate yourself to the top of the road. Everybody can talk about, we're going to get in the playbook, sure, and we're going to show up with a good attitude, and we're going to work really hard, and we're going to come in and do things right, and we're going to get right, all the whatever the flu sayings. But, and you've got, he's not doing this alone. Shane Waldron's there for him. But this is the time to separate yourself. You have talented dudes. You have a canvas here that's pretty blank to figure out how to use them creatively. We got the awesome Rook who fell to you at 9. You got the seasoned vet, you know, as I'm in, just in the wide receiver room right now. You've got in his prime DJ Moore. You've got weapons in the backfield. You got two tight ends. This is time to see what's possible and not just sort of be in your comfortable, this is how we do things box. So it's he's either going to cut it big time and you know, at one point Bill Belichick was looked, I'm not saying he's going to be Bill Belichick, it's the craziest thing I've ever said, but at one time he was, but you know, he was the Cleveland coach. Now you've got talent, you've got all eyes on you. This is the time for the Flus to actually really establish himself as a legit NFL head coach who's worthy of being in this position. Will he do it? I have no idea.
I think that's the test, right? And I think that, listen, I'm not saying go out there and play him like he's Cal Orton or something. I'm not saying that. You know what I mean? But I'm also not saying he needs to throw the ball all over the field. Caleb Williams going to have to average 350. He doesn't have to do that. It's cool that you have a roster that could do that if needed. But you don't have to do that. I would still refrain from putting the defense in bad situations. Like, I was still like, I don't want a whole lot of three and outs because it went off a fingertip or the ball got tipped or whatever. Like, we can still run the ball. Like, it's cool. We got him. It's cool. We got all them dudes. But we got two proven running backs in this National Football League. We can still run the ball.
You know, the Bears aren't pigeonholed like they were in years past, where they had to kind of run the football and play defense. They do have that luxury, that option, with plenty of receiving options. And I think that when you look at this roster, this is not a play conservative type of offense anymore. No. Like, they have weapons. Like, you should lean into that, but not forget who you are.
Right.
So that's where that balance is going to come in. And it's going to be like a lot goes on Shane Waldron right now.
Yeah.
To like figure out like, well, how do I best do this? I do have capable running backs in the backfield. Oh, shoot. I also have three very capable wide receivers, a top 10 tight end and Cole Kmet. Like,
you brought in Gerald Everett. Like, you got a lot of stuff you can do.
There's a lot of it almost complicates things, but in a way, it makes your job easier. It's same. It's like, it's weird that it does both at the same time, because Shane Waldron has a lot that he has to work with, but he just needs to find that right balance. And we just obviously haven't seen it up to this point because the season hasn't played out. So it's going to be fascinating.
Stand on who you are, man. Like, whoever you are as a play caller, stand on that. Like, don't let all the outside noise say don't, like, just stand on who you are. Put your system in, build a system that works for the talent that you have, and if a week-to-week game plan requires that we throw it 40 times, then you throw it 40 times. If the game plan requires something else, you do something else.
True.
That's all I'm saying.
Do you think Ngakoue's back here, and let me throw out the names I threw out earlier, because Calais Campbell is 37 years old, but he wants to play another year. Mid, you know, still picking up a handful of sacks, 5, 6, 7. So pair him with Montez, maybe he's still there. I brought up Emmanuel Agba, who's you know, known for not exactly playing every down. And here's some of the other remaining free agents out there: Justin Simmons, Von Gilmore, Xavier Howard, Emmanuel Agba, and Campbell, who I named, Donovan Smith, offensive tackle. Jamal Adams is nearly dead, but he's out there. Odell Beckham is also nearing his NFL deathbed, I should say it like that. And then Tyler Boyd was a name that's, you know, we were talking about, but now they've got Odunze. I don't know if any of those names excite you.
Yeah, I don't know if they have any space for those wide receivers at the bottom. Like, I mean, they, like, I don't know that Tyler Scott finds his way onto the field much this year. You already got the three receivers in front of him, but you also got the two tight end package. Like, so I don't even know there's space to be talking about bringing in receivers. As far as edge, I think Yannick is still a very, very strong possibility to come back here. He knows the system. They know him. He's on pace to be healthy for training camp. He came on a little bit towards the end before he got hurt. Obviously, bringing in Montez Sweat helped everybody with that. We saw, you know, everybody from Justin Jones to everybody got better. Javon got better. Everybody, DeMarcus got better, right? So I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back and be in that rotation as well when they kick DeMarcus inside. Somebody has to play that edge. I don't think Dominique Robinson has shown enough yet to – I think that's that experiment is nearing its end. They need to bring in somebody for their pass rush package. We'll see what the rookie can do. He's got some traits that you like. He's some bendability. He's got some length, some explosiveness. So some, you know, third and obvious. He may get some reps if he earns them throughout the summer. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Yannick come back at all.
I mean, DeMarcus Walker does yap a good game. He's got you know he's around. So if nothing else,
he the one gonna get them fighting this summer.
Yeah,
well, camp.
True. Yeah, you know, he almost gets, like, to be completely honest, gets left out of like the conversation of this defensive line, even though Walker was paid on a 3-year contract last offseason and does provide some versatility playing inside out, and you know he is somebody to keep in the mix. But yeah, I'm looking at, like, if you're Austin Booker and you're looking at where, you know, you're trading a 2025 draft capital to come back into the draft to go get you, that's telling of what Ryan Poles, his Bears staff, thinks of him. And I think
there's a path to some reps for him.
Exactly. And, like, just watched a little bit of tape of him over the weekend. Speaking of the Bears area scout, he said his best game was against Texas. And at the time, Texas was the number 3 ranked team in the nation. Kansas ends up getting blown out, like 40-14. Right. But in that game, you see Austin Booker. He's lining up majority in a 2-point stance, not what he's going to be doing in Chicago. But you're seeing a bull rush. You're seeing a spin move, an inside move. And effort is going to be seamless for him when he gets to Chicago. And Eberflus is a guy that always is tracking the ball carrier, is able to kind of find where the ball is at and make a play even when he's not even supposed to. So I think that's going to bode well for him in his rookie season. But if he adds a little bit of weight, I mean, there's no reason why he can't get reps, a good amount of reps, in his rookie season, because they just need somebody opposite of Montez Sweat. And if they think Booker's that guy, he's going to have the opportunity to do so this season.
You got a comp for him? Remind you of anyone?
Mark Anderson.
Ooh.
What's the name?
Just came in wiry, undersized.
Wiry, yeah.
Straight pass rush. I'm not saying the kid's going to come in here and have 10 sacks, 10 and a half, whatever Mark Anderson had that year. But, like, just a physical comp, he comes to mind, just the frame itself.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I mean, he is – wiry is, like, how I was, like, kind of putting in my notes. Wiry. But he does have, I think, the frame to obviously add more weight to himself. So I like that a lot, though.
He uses length really well, so he knows, like, he's 240. Yeah. So I can't let this 330-pound dude really get his hands on me. So while he's got him here, and then he's quick enough to rip under or shed around.
Yep.
And, you know, just one or two moves is all he needs. Certainly he's going to have to add to that as he goes. But for his rookie year, one or two moves, third down specialist, I feel like that's the ceiling for him this year. And if he hits that, that'd be great.
I love watching those guys play. I mean, when it goes right, it's like – That is a really creative, fun, amazing, what's he going to do next type of dude on your defense. So, I mean, I don't want to get too tall here. He was a fifth-round pick. I don't know if he's going to come in here and crush, but maybe. But you never know. Hey, Michael Scalette, I want to get you in here. $49.99, appreciate you. Hey, guys, been busy with work the last few days. Just want to say great job to all the CHGO team for the draft coverage. Can't wait to see how it all comes together this year with the Bears. It's going to be fun to watch Bear down. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a ton of people in the chat asking about Hogue. You know, and I think, and then I've seen a lot of people respond to, he's dealing with family issues. You know, real life going on with Adam, and our prayers are with him and his family. And Hogue himself is fine, and we'll be back next week. But it's going to be a little minute there. And
he's where he should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So handling a lot, and we miss him. And, you know, we look forward to having him back when he gets back. In the meantime, having a ton of guests for you. Tomorrow's show, We're bringing in Randy Trivers, who was Caleb's high school coach. So that's going to be a ton of fun. We got an Austin Booker, head coach of KU, coming up for you.
Let's go.
So we're moving it around here, and going to keep you rocking here. You making a move for Trey Hendrickson, Herb? You giving up the top second round pick next year? You paying him? You doing that?
Good player. Very good player.
Good player.
I mean, money's getting a little thinner right now. You're gonna have to do some creative things to get it done. But you doing that?
I don't know.
17 and a half sacks in 2023, 8 in 2022. Very productive. You know, if they're gonna make a move, like, the defensive end position seems like the spot to do so. But I wonder if, like, the Bears are not, if they're willing to allocate resources to that spot. Obviously, you want to have the best defensive front you can, sure. But
how much money can you dump into one spot?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got guys that are coming up. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
DJ don't have a whole lot of time left on that thing. Like, you're probably going to want to get him done at the end of this season or some point, right? I mean, obviously, you always got the tag in your back pocket, but I don't think they want to go that route. Certainly, he wouldn't want to go that route. So, you got to start thinking a little bit down the road. These draft picks have to start meaning something. And you got three in the first two rounds next year. You can't fill all these holes by throwing money at it. Like, you just can't. Would it be cool? Yeah, it would have been cool to get Danielle Hunter in here. Like,
yeah,
but,
no doubt.
You know, at some point, you got to be cool.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Didn't know Hunter would be
with Montez Sweat, like
that
would pray for all quarterbacks.
How you gonna stop him?
I don't know. they didn't want that to happen, so it didn't happen.
We're building a decade long champion here. All right, hey Ray Scarpelli and Ray Chevy, what's going on? Drive home a winner this April. That means today. 30 days have September, April, June, and November. Get aggressive. They are sharing their best offers of the year. Get out there to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. One of the top Chevy dealers in the Midwest. You're also going to be able to shop Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. Plus, they got the perfect tailgate vehicle, new Silverados, over 100 available, offering 0% financing for 72 months. And there's 125 vehicles on the lot, under $20,000, affordable pricing. They've got it at Ray Chevy. And you can get a free oil change at Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake when you mention CHGO. That's right, free oil change. Nick's done it. Hogue's done it. Mm-hmm. I will do it. All you need to do is mention CHGO when scheduling your oil change. Can't wait to bring the Chevy Trax in there, baby. Trax technology. Love my Trax. Thank you, Ray Chevy. Start off the new year right and schedule it today. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. Survey the community since 1963. Find new roads.
Got to find new roads. And you also, if you haven't found your CHGO diehard membership, I think now would be a great time to do so. We're doing some awesome things here at CHGO. Obviously, if you've been a diehard, you know all about our draft coverage and what went into making that what it was over this past weekend. But you know, there's future events coming up, whether it's going to be the tailgates at Soldier Field, still there on the lake for you there, Mark, but going to go watch Caleb Williams and Bears offense and, you know, just everything that comes with being a CHO diehard. You have the Discord, the communities there for each of the teams. So it's not just the Bears team, obviously, but Blackhawks, Cubs, White Sox, everybody that you can think of, there's going to be a Discord lounge for you. When Braggs isn't here on Friday, there's a good chance he's at the Friday 120 Club out there with Cubs fans, just kind of hanging out at Murphy's and just doing his thing. So you got to become a diehard, join this awesome community that we're still constantly building up day by day. And if you become a diehard,
brick by brick,
brick by brick, brick, by brick. Yep. If you become a diehard, the guy to my, I guess if you're watching left, will always, he gives you an awesome shout out, very unique every single time for the diehard. So, the perks.
Well, CHGO throws a great party too.
Like, appreciate it, Herb.
CHGO throws a great party.
We try to get you where you need to be. Get to those new diehards in 1 second, but I just, you know, it's fun seeing the national audience going nuts for the Bears. Yeah. Emmanuel Acho, Bears are going to have a top three offense. Colin Cowherd, Bears are the most improved team in the NFL. Nick Wright, 10 plus wins, guarantee it. Caleb Williams is going to be that dude.
That guy. Yeah.
Nationals on board, man.
Good, and they should be. I think a lot of people forget the Bears should have won 10 games last year. And I'm not like pie in the sky. No. Should. They gave 3 games away back historically.
No.
Yes. What do you mean? They were up 20 on the Broncos. They were up 12 on Detroit with 4 minutes. Like, what do you mean?
But you don't win. But you don't win all three. Like, you could have.
They had a 95%+ chance of winning all three. Would you take a 95% chance to do anything?
All right, I'm not.
I like that. I like the probabilities.
Fair enough. I'm not. I'll drop that. I'll drop that fight. Go ahead. They should have won.
I'm just saying
they should have.
You can make it an indictment on them. It's fine, right? It's an indictment. They should have won 3 more games, though, right? Yeah. That's everybody. That's
dropping Justin Jones into coverage was not great.
That was not a good idea.
It was bad for
you. Know what I mean? But it's everybody's handprints on those three losses. Everybody, offense, defense, head coach, OC, DC, quarterback, GM, whatever. Everybody
feels roll out Broncos naked. That didn't work.
Not cool.
Bad play call.
I'm just saying that this was a team that could have very easily had double-digit wins last year. And I still think they're the most improved team. So now, like, you're really talking about being a legitimate, like, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but they are a problem going into this season. And if they can, you know, hit their stride and really be playing good ball and be healthy going to the playoffs, I don't think nobody wants to see them.
I wonder, is it a little weird for you guys, though, that literally everybody's on board? Like, that's never the case with the Bears. It's like almost
scary.
Like a bad omen, right?
It's
like,
a scary,
wait, everyone expecting the Bears to make this next jump? It's a very unfamiliar territory for, you know, us three, and I think Bears fans, knowing that it doesn't matter who you ask. Like, the Bears, they have a roster. They have a quarterback. They have weapons. It almost seems a little weird, and, you know, I'm jumping on board, too, because I think this team can make a quick ascension into being very competitive, but it is a very unfamiliar place, I must say.
Well, I got to tell you, if you're a Bears at Sunday at noon person,
it's going to get real prime time here, aren't
you? It is. They played 4 national TV games last year.
And that was before they had the number one pick, like with all the expectations.
Right.
And
coming off 3 wins.
Right.
Now you're coming off 7, right, and you added in Caleb. Where do you think this is going? It's going to Thursday night. It's going to Monday night. It's going to Sunday night. The most you can be on,
London.
Going to London. You best get on board and come with us to London. I think Herb's flying first class. Our CHGO road trip to London is going to be amazing via True Fan Travel. All you got to do, by the way, is put down a $500 deposit. We'll figure out the rest when we get the dates and where you're coming from and how to do it, but I'm planning on making that week for Greg Braggs as miserable as I possibly can, so it'll help the content. Keep him on edge. There will be videos coming from the flight, something along those lines, if we are on the same flight, although
I'll vlog it.
Greg's already told us that him and Jenny are flying, you know, early and probably first class because, you know, what's money going on like that?
Because why not? I was saying to a reporter at Hallis Hall after the introductory press conference for Caleb and Rome, And I was like, I never seen that many people in that room before. It was crazy. Like, they should have done his press conference in the auditorium.
They should have.
Or maybe I know they have stuff going on downstairs, but they should have used the auditorium because the regular press conference room was not big enough for that, and they better get used to it. And so the person I was talking to was like, oh, yeah, it'll die out in a couple weeks. I was like, no, it's probably going to continue to grow. Like, as long as he's who we think he is, this star is going to continue to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Mm-hmm. And everybody that's used to, you know, the usual people on you better make space. It's going to be a lot of other people in there, and that's a good thing.
They have an elevated platform for the cameras. I was behind the cameras because of how many people were in the press conference room.
I was behind you.
It's like, yeah, there was a shit ton of people there. And
it was crazy.
Like, I don't think that's just going to magically go away. Like,
it was nuts in there. Crazy. I had to ask Caleb my question about Duck and Smoke from way back there. He was like, what?
What was that question again? What did you say to him? I loved it.
I basically asked him, why isn't he, like, trying to temper the expectations? Oh, yeah, yeah. Why isn't he trying to manage the pressure? Why isn't he ducking the smoke of all the expectations that come along with this? And he was just like, why duck? Like, it's here. I'm here. Rome here. Nope. Keenan here. We here. Well, say, go ahead, shorty.
Right. And exactly. Well, and go ahead is right. And they, everywhere you know, from every corner, they talk about that he can handle it.
Yeah.
That he's not going to duck it. He's going to run right towards it, and that's what he's been racing for his whole time. So, hey, shout out. Let's go. Hey, all right, new diehards. Getting this off the cuff today because I got them right before the show. But let me tell you something. I want to welcome in our guy, Rick. Mm. New diehard Rick.
What up, Rick?
Now, Rick is a guy that shows up early, stays late. He's not about himself, but he also is about representing the front of the jersey and not the back.
Yeah.
Rick's always been a front of the jersey guy, and that's why Rick is an amazing diehard. And now Royal.
Mm.
Royal gets up and down the court. Royal's got a sweet baseline jumper.
Mm.
Royal is his own throne.
Yeah.
That's what Royal is.
Yeah.
And Royal is now royalty as one of our diehards. Thank you, Royal. And now Kenneth.
Your Highness.
Kenneth.
What a name.
People might not remember Kenneth, but he got embroiled in a little bit of controversy.
Yeah.
He was there, but, you know, Kenneth, he battled his way through.
Owned it.
He owned it. He was honest about it. He said, I'll wear it. I'll get better. And now out of nowhere, he got to a place in his life that he didn't even know was possible.
He did the work. He's ready for the next chapter.
And exactly. And now he's one of our diehards. Thank you, Kenneth. What about our guy, Thomas?
Can't say enough.
You can't say enough. You get excited about Thomas, but you got to stay patient with Thomas. You know, Thomas goes into the toaster, and it's not your standard toast. It takes a little extra. You got to marinate Thomas. You got to give him his opportunity to blossom. But when he does blossom,
there's no better Thomas.
There is no better Thomas. He's worth the wait. And Thomas, you were worth the wait. I'm glad you're here now. Member of our diehards. And Zach.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. Last letter of the alphabet, but first in our heart. First, you know, said last today. Maybe even put in the diehard. He doesn't mind where he's. Zach doesn't worry about where he's placed. He worries about how he comes correct.
Somebody got to anchor the team from the back.
That's exactly right. This is and that's a good point because Zach has always been a strong anchor. You know, the waters get a little rocky. Zach sits down. He calms things down.
Yeah.
He docks the boat. He doesn't care about the rocky waters. He takes you where you need to go. You want an Uber driver, you want Zach.
Yeah.
No doubt.
You want a guy on your law firm, a partner, you want Zach. You want a podcaster, whatever corner of the world you want,
Zach's your guy. He can hold it down. He's standing on business regularly. Yeah.
So, Zach, appreciate you. You're a member of the diehard family. Thank you. And I said yesterday I would shout out Mason. So, Mason, you got screwed when Hogue didn't give you the love. You're not going to get screwed today because, Mason, you're used to not getting respect. You're used to sort of second fiddle. But that's not what you deserve. You deserve first fiddle. You deserve front of the room. Mm-hmm. And you're standing in front of the room right now, Mason. We are all looking at you. We are all appreciating you. And we are all telling you that we would not be here if it wasn't for you.
Everybody understands the middle child. Right? Everybody understands that. But they hold it together, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't have a family without Mason. And Mason is now a part of the Die Hard family.
If I can, real quick, mentioning all these shout-outs, I just want to give a shout-out to my grandfather, who actually passed away today. I saw all the messages in the chat and all the messages I got on Twitter. Appreciate it from my family. It means a lot. And, just love you, Papa Chris. And just thank you to everybody.
Yeah, I was going to wait for the end because I know that you've been feeling it, Nick. And I texted you this morning like, hey, man, take the day, take the week, do what you can. But your post touched me greatly about hearing an Ecuadorian song and, you know, just a little clap out of them. And I looked at your pictures, you and your grandpa, and you only have so many people in your life that, you know,
have that kind of impact. Yeah.
That you know will do anything for you. So best to your family, best to your dad, and best to you. I appreciate you sharing. And, yeah. So, at any rate, love.
Gramps looking younger than Carmen.
That's rude, but we can. R.I.P. to Grandpa Chris, who on his deathbed looked younger than me. That hurts.
Love you, Papa.
But a great way to end the show. Hey, Herb, thanks for being here, man.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure. Thank y'all for letting me back. Everybody had assumed y'all kicked me out.
No one's kicking nobody out.
But listen, every time the jokes start on Twitter, I just lean into them.
Yeah, well,
so I hated Hulk for like 2 months. We were arch rivals and enemies, so I lean into all that stuff.
Friend for life. Herb's going nowhere. Everybody knows that Herb's the best, so we don't need to explain that. So, at any rate, fun show today. Randy Travers, Caleb's coach, to lead off tomorrow. Pidge, agree with you. Lucky to have you, Nick. Thanks for sharing.
Appreciate it, Pidge.
Pidge 2 on my balcony. You better come correct. Get that food for your baby that's coming. Don't be sitting there all day long and just protecting the egg.
Bird parents are savages, though.
I mean, this dude. I walk on that balcony. I'm like, yo, I'm not trying to do anything to you, Pidge. You're good.
They pick out the weakest one and be like, yeah, you're probably not going to make it, so we're going to give all the food to these other two. So yeah, no, this, go ahead on.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a weird way to end the show, but that's how we're going to do it. Have a great rest of your day. RIP Papa Chris. Thanks again to Herb. Thanks again to Matt Verderam. Steven, thanks for producing. We'll see you tomorrow.
You all silly like the mayor.